Hey folks, you're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and Chief Todd LeDuc, episode 95.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie and retired Chief Todd LeDuc, and also, the, as you guys know, the Chief Wellness Officer of LifeScan Wellness Centers. And this one is all about, we're going to talk about the year in review. So Todd, it's just you and me, which is going to be a little bit different.
It is, Donnie. Boy, it's hard to believe. We've been at this podcast together for a year. We've had some tremendous friends and guests come on and share the great work that they've been doing. And, I gotta give a shout out, all the work that you've done and the inroads that you're making and work-life balance and really just connecting the dots with the physical health piece and the overall wellness piece has been really exciting to connect those two together and, have that this great discussion with some of our guests and want to see where we're going to take this in 2022.
Well, thank you very much. And I'll tell you, big shout out to you to introducing me to all of your great friends in the fire service. It's like, it's amazing. Cause I was actually emailing the funny one. Yeah. Cause with Dr. Lori, Moore Merrill, fire administrator thinking, I was telling my family, I go, hey, I just talked to the number one top position in the fire service industry appointed by the president. And she said, hey, I'd love to get on the podcast, talk about work-life balance. And I'm thinking, those avenues and those events would never happen without this friendship and partnership that you and I have on this podcast. So thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. The feeling's mutual. And I'm sure many of our guests, like myself as your co-host, are still needing to soak in what you preach and the practice of better balance. So it's been a great learning opportunity for myself, and I thank you for that. And speaking of Dr. Moore Merrill, Lori's been a dear friend for decades, probably since I first landed in Broward County. She's hit the ground running. She is often in doing great things at U.S. Fire. I know when she came on, she was in her role as CEO of the International Public Safety Data Institute. We now have Chief John Oates has filled that position, the chief of West Hartford, Connecticut Fire. I know he'll continue to do that great work. We'll hope to have him on the podcast soon. But, Lori focused a lot on not only data, but some of the key issues. And she actually, to her credit, I got to give Lori credit, took the time to come down to one of our LifeScan, or actually our headquarters, which is a working clinic in Tampa.
Yeah.
And Lori, of course, a fire service, started in Memphis, and her husband is up in Fairfax County Fire. And Lori went through the full 3-hour life scan physical and get a good idea on how not just that it followed NFPA 1582 and 1583, but how comprehensive it was with, the additional lab markers and all the imaging that's done. And, I think to her credit, and we just saw this with NFPA put out in December, the fifth national needs assessment. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think it was 63% of the respondents still were not doing an NFPA physical annually for their members. So I know Lori, in her new role as U.S. Fire Administrator, is going to focus on some of those, kind of big big areas that we need to tackle. And I know for her, that's, you know, health and safety, behavioral health being part of that. I know, you know, she's also focused on wildland interface and the wildland fires that we increasingly see out west. And they're saying it's not a season anymore, it's a continuous season for wildfire. But, you know, that's tremendous that, you know, you reached out to her and she's been on once as a guest. And, you know, it says in my mind, it just speaks to volumes that she sees enough importance, that work-life balance and that, again, that total piece that if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to be successful in achieving what we need to for the communities we serve. So, no surprise. And I'm glad she committed to getting back to you.
Yeah. She's one of many of your friends that you've had on as our co-host guest and, that are a lot of interest from your guests that, you know, they hear a little bit about what I do and how I do it and the approach and all of that. And then they're contacting me. And so hopefully I'll see many of them out in their departments in 2022, talking about a look ahead. You know, we're recording this on January 25th and wow, we got some breaking news right before we stepped on this podcast with getting the email confirmation for the Fire Chiefs Conference, right? Two of us will be presenting. I think we titled it How to Align Daily Behaviors with Priorities in Life for Sustainable Success at Work, Home, and Wellness. I think we are just one character short of going over.
That was. And in fact, I didn't actually even know what that meant when we put it in. But, you know, we did a version 1.0 of that in Charlotte this past FRI. And to my surprise, you know, and I say this somewhat tongue in cheek, but, you know, FRI, like many conferences, was challenged with attendance and COVID and travel restrictions. So we teamed up and did a kind of what we do with these podcasts, right? We did a look at not only taking care of your physical health and managing preventable risk factors and early detection and life scan, but tying it all together with, you know, how to manage the personal side, the stress, the relationships, the, you know, family. And by God, we were, if I remember correctly, we were pretty much on standing room only.
We were, yeah.
Which was exciting to see. It, you know, you've heard me say it before on podcasts and in presentations, and it's true. You know, I've been in the service 34 years. You know, there was a time when if you were had such a topic, you'd have one person attending other than yourself. and everyone would be down at the tactics and the hands-on hot training. And, you know, but now I think we've turned the corner where, you know, we're recognizing again, if we're not taking care of ourselves, then we're not going to be much good to anyone else. So I'm excited that we got invited back for version 2.0, and it's in San Antonio. So we'll put a plug out for Fire Rescue International. And of course, that's the premier conference of the International Fire Chiefs Association. So there's still plenty of time to register, and San Antonio is a fun time on the canals down there, and you know, great food, great barbecue, and come on out and register and join us.
Yeah, that's one I think my wife will be joining me on.
very nice. Austin.
Yes. Hey, when we think about looking ahead, you know, something I haven't asked you on our podcasts as we do with your guests and things like that, but I'm going to turn the tables, of course, put you on the spot, you know, as friends. But Todd, why do you do what you do now? You retired for 1 hour from the fire service. You immediately stepped in and, you know, I'm sure you're not a volunteer at this, but the meaning behind it, right? Perhaps, why do you do what you do with LifeScan?
Well, great question. I joke, you've heard me joke, and you kind of alluded to it that, I got 18 holes of golf in retirement and then started the next day with life scanning. That is not a joke. That is a true story. I retired at age 50. I'm very fortunate, and you can only play so much golf. And in my case, even if you play a lot of golf, it doesn't get much better.
Yeah.
but for myself and my perspective, I just look at my work in Broward and, my work, I spent a lot of time, almost two decades now, with the IFC's, Safety, Health and Survival Board, and, very thankful that I've been reelected multiple elections and take that very seriously, that responsibility that comes. And, we pushed very hard at a national level for firefighter physicals being afforded to every firefighter in the United States. And as we can see from the NFPA needs assessment, we're nowhere there yet, which is disheartening to me. But it's also motivating at the same time. I take myself down to Broward, where I spent 30 years of my career, coming up through the ranks, and probably when I look back at all the most significant accomplishments at Broward, you can look at new apparatus, new contracts merging in, new departments, hiring, promoting. Those are all part of running a fire department, but there's probably, when you walk into Broward, there's a wall of deceased firefighters that I knew, worked with, and are no longer with us, considered line of duty deaths. Yeah. Most of them were from almost to a T. Most of them were cancer. One or two were cardiac. One was behavioral health related. But when I reflect on almost each and every one of those, likely they could have been preventable with some of the things that you and I talk about and focus on. And certainly early detection is key to that. So for me, just in my own department, bringing LifeScan in a manner that was embraced by the IFF and the local 4321 in Broward, huge supporters of LifeScan, and has saved lives. So, I've got colleagues today that probably wouldn't be with us if it wasn't for the LifeScan wellness physical. So to have the opportunity, it was something I always joked with the owners of the founders of LifeScan that when I retire, maybe I'll come work for you. And then there came a time when it wasn't a joke. They actually made me an offer to, and for me, it was kind of a no-brainer that I could continue the work at the IFC on kind of a macro level. Mm-hmm. What I had accomplished in Broward, which, when I look back, was probably, one of the more prouder accomplishments I have, and most meaningful. But now to be able to, do that, and, we were just awarded Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department, Local 42 of the IFF, 1,100 firefighters. We were awarded Newport News. Some of the guests we had on, I think you remember Sean Ryan from Albemarle County, Virginia Fire Rescue.
Yes.
He's alive today because LifeScan found his kidney cancer. Yeah. Prior exams, prior to them converting to LifeScan for their physicals, had I believe he said, maybe missed that. So, it's very rewarding to be able to expand physicals. And with that, there's not a day, if not, a week that goes by where I don't get an email, a phone call, a text, a social media, direct message, whether that's Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn. If someone tells me, hey, I just want to say thank you. LifeScan just saved my life, and you found, a cancer, you found, an aneurysm that I didn't know I had. And I'm alive today because of that. So to me, that's very rewarding.
Doesn't get any better than that.
It really doesn't. And it allows you know, me to stay active in the fire service, continue my work at the IFC. I've now had the blessing to be appointed to NFPA, to the Technical Committee on First Responder Occupational Health. They, you know, write some of the standards for physicals. So still, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. And obviously, you know, I'm one of many that are out there, folks like yourself and others, you know, some of our guests, you know, Greg Markley from out at the Northwest Firefighter Trust is working to expand healthcare throughout the IFF and, you know, LifeScan, you know, Dr. Sarah Jenke, one of our guests, and all the work she's been doing to shine the light on some of these issues. We had our listeners may remember, if they didn't hear it, Ron Sarnicky. You know, Ron, director of National Fallen Firefighters. You know, there's a group that was established by Congress to support the families of fallen firefighters. And I mean, what a great mission.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ron and his wife, you know, I give them credit. They took time to come down to LifeScan, one of our clinics in Florida, just like Lori Moore Merrill did, Dr. Merrill, the fire administrator, and actually went through LifeScan and, you know, said, hey, I want to see how comprehensive, you know, you say it is. I want to experience it, because, you know, he realizes that, you know, they do the national annual fallen firefighter memorial every year at Emmitsburg, and it's a beautiful event. But think about it. If we're to be true to ourselves as a service, cancer, heart disease, even behavioral health, you know, prevention is key. But also running parallel is we can screen even behavioral health. We have beautiful screening tools that are out there to tell us early when people need help. So, to be able to offer that annually to departments and individuals, destigmatize it, make it just about, and you've said it, I hear you say it, you know, that, hey, this is about just getting you through your career of service safely and healthy so you can enjoy a long and healthy and lasting retirement with family. So it's not something, you know, sometimes we get afraid when we hear the word physical or early detection, but, you know, there's really, listen, I mean, you talk cancer, 40% of general population are going to have cancer in their lifetime. Firefighters are higher than that. Yeah. And not only higher, but, you know, unfortunately, the survivability for firefighters is worse. So one of the key ways of beating this is getting a very specific, tailored physical to find those occupational risks. Let's find them. Let's deal with them early and let's eradicate them. I mean, you know, I've said it probably ad nauseum, but I hope it's connecting with folks. Is we would never think of, I hope, putting one of our firefighters into an apparatus that, you know, had bald tires, you know, no brakes, spongy brakes, bad windshield wipers, and send them along their way, thinking that anything good is going to happen. And we really need that mindset with our personnel more so. I mean, to me, it's disheartening when I see in 2021, December of 2021, an NFPA needs assessment come out with some of the numbers that were in there. I mean, it's disheartening, but it's also a call to action. And hopefully some of our listeners out there, you know, if your departments are in need of addressing some of those issues, maybe this is the opportunity to start, you know, that process to see how you can be a champion of change.
Yes. And I think, and I like the analogy of the apparatus, because preventive maintenance was not always there, right? I mean, it took a while for the culture to change to where, and then once someone put numbers to it, it's like, well, wait a minute, let's see, preventive maintenance actually costs less than repairing, right? And the downtime and everything else with it. And we're starting to see that, I believe, also in preventive health. Obviously, you know, the cost, the actual dollar cost to the departments, the cities, et cetera, you know, doing things up front, getting this preventive, can save can save them money in the long run. And so it's something that I think the culture is starting to change. And I was surprised too, when you read the numbers of the NFPA, that's sort of shocking. Yeah.
It was. And you know, that's not the, that's not the, you know, only report that's out there. I know, you know, IFC did some surveys of their members and 2006 and then repeated it in 2016. And the numbers were, I think 20% of career departments said they were providing no type of physicals at all. On the volunteer side, it was about 40%. And only about 10% of both career and volunteer were doing any type of behavioral health screenings. Which to me, I mean, you know, if we're not checking these things, we're not going to find them until, unfortunately, you know, tragedy strikes.
Yeah.
And listen, we talking about tragedy, you mentioned we're taping this on, you know, January 25th. I just want to mention from both Donnie and myself, you know, our thoughts go out to the city of Baltimore. Fire department for their tragic loss overnight of their members. We're praying for them and their families, and I know the department's, you know, hurting. So please keep them in your thoughts and in prayers. I know we'll be airing this shortly, so you know, it's something that it's on the minds of everyone in the community and first responder community.
It certainly is. Especially those emails I get, you know, I think I read that one from Billy Goldfeder. But speaking of Billy, I shouldn't call him. I should probably call him Chief because I've never met him. his cancer story. Did you read the article? His article that he put out the other day.
I did, and you know,
talking about. I mean, one thing I absolutely loved and want to promote on that is once he got the news. It's like, don't sit on it, take action. The way he told it was, you know, that's what we all need to do.
And Billy's, you know, a dear friend. Billy's the reason I'm on the board of IFC. And, you know, he's been a friend and a mentor. And for those of you that know Billy, he's no holes barred. So he tells it as it is without any spin. So, you know, Billy actually called me to tell me privately that he had been diagnosed with a very aggressive form of prostate. He had a Gleason score, I believe it was 9. And if any of you that know anything about Gleason scores and prostate cancer, that's an aggressive. And he called and said, listen, you've been bugging me for years to go through the life scan physical. And I wish I had. Fortunately, he did find it, and he did have his prostate removed. His treatment so far has gone remarkably well. He still tells me he's got a little fatigue, but the one thing that was clear was he wanted to use his national prominence. You know, Billy has co-founded the Secret List, which has hundreds of thousands of followers, and you know, runs firefighter close calls. So he wanted to use his platform to increase awareness of, in particular, his battle, his journey, prostate cancer, and the importance of PSA. So he's actually unveiling, probably get in trouble here for doing this, but I'll show Donnie because we're visualing a campaign that's going to be rolled out this week.
Very nice.
So it'll be out by the time you hear this. It's called 40 Plus Fire. And I've got to say, I'm honored that Billy asked, and it was a no-brainer from us at LifeScan for us to sponsor this. So it's called 40 Plus Fire. There'll be a website to lay out awareness information, resources about prostate cancer. We've also made up with LifeScan's financial support, 40 Plus Fire stickers for helmets for your helmets. And and the goal on this is get checked, right? So you know, it's at LifeScan, we actually include a PSA as part of the annual blood testing, regardless of age. And again, firefighters are unique, right? We are exposed to toxins at age 18,
19, 20, 21.
So we're going to get those cancers a lot earlier. So we actually get a baseline prostate PSA and then repeat it annually so we can trend. So even if you're still within normal limits, but you've had subsequent, you know, increases, there's something going on that we need to be concerned about. So there'll be a link off the 40 Plus Fire website and Firefighter Close Call that will take you to a LifeScan Wellness Center's learning webpage that you can order some of these stickers. But, you know, Billy immediately reached out to, you know, small group of colleagues. I was honored to be part of that. Lori Moore from US Fire, Brian Frieder is one of our other guests, who's Brian's the president of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, Dr. Sarah Jenke, the IFC. So that whole group has come together, and Billy's in a unique position. He's by, you know, in many ways considered an icon and legend in the fire service. Has a huge platform and wants to use his, you know what he told me, it stood out when he first called, and he told me he just called a small group of friends to share the journey with initially, was he said, Todd, you know, I think he said, bro, you know, it didn't shock me. I knew this call, it was a matter of when, not a matter of if I was gonna get this call. So, you know, and he shared with him 40 plus years in the fire service, and, you know, he shared pictures of soot and, you know, helmets and, you know, covered. And, you know, so he was part of that generation growing up where we weren't talking about, you know, clean is the new, you know, healthy and, you know, clean cabs and annual physicals. And so it's affected him tremendously. I can tell you that. But he's also made this now a mission to leave it better where he found it in terms of cancer identification and awareness.
Yeah.
And I can say, I know we've been chasing Billy, whose schedule is always challenging to come on, but, you know, looking forward as we talk about 2022, Billy is certainly going to be one of our guests and talk about his campaign in the 40 plus campaign and all the partners that he's put together and the resources. You know, he wanted to keep this so simple. So, you know, just cut out all the chatter and get the information that firefighters need to know and have. And I think he's going to be very successful. Again, we're proud at LifeScan to be a small part of that. And, you know, we see far too many. I think I shared on a number of our podcasts, even in my own department in Broward, this last round of physicals we did, Broward County, so about 900 members. We had two prostate cancers that didn't know they had prostate cancer, but were identified on their LifeScan Wellness Center's annual physical. In two bladder cancers. So think about that. In just one department, we had four asymptomatic cancer finds that are all doing great. They're all still on the job. They're all cancer-free, as is Billy. But obviously, you know, they have to keep a close, watchful eye on it, which is, you know, again, the importance of having that annual exam. So you find it and then you monitor it.
Absolutely. No, it does. Speaking of the annual exams and LifeScan and looking forward, how does the technology change over the years, and is it you know, what lies ahead? Let's look at it that way in what LifeScan does when you go out for the day.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, that's a great question. I think you know, if we're talking about prognosticating, you know, I think some of the things that we have the great ability of doing, we partnered with some of the chiefs on the West Coast Chiefs Association to create this electronic medical record built around NFPA. And I think that's going to allow us to use some of the findings that we have with no identities attached to continue to support our research community. Because really, if you're seeing 50,000 first responders a year and you're seeing what's affecting their health and there's trends and there's commonalities, there really is, from our perspective and my perspective as the Chief Strategy Officer, an obligation to contribute and give back and help define, you know, what is it that we need to be either, like you said, Donnie, changing how we do things, expanding how we do things, maybe reevaluating. One project that I'm excited that we're part of and we're actually working, one of the few that I can recall that has the support of the IFF, the National Volunteer Fire Council, National Fallen Firefighters, the Fire Department Safety Officers, NFPA, Metro Chiefs, is starting to look at, and you'll appreciate this from your service in the military and your son's service, the issue of traumatic brain injury in firefighters, in head injury. Mm-hmm. You know, the VA has a simple 4-question screening tool for traumatic brain injury in military service members. So the little, you know, work we've started looking at from the IFF and the IFC, and a lot of help from our U.S. Fire Administrator, Dr. Moore Merrill, you know, as firefighters, we are obviously constantly, you know, having being exposed to head trauma, upper torso trauma, just from the work that we do.
Now, just to clarify, we're talking physical trauma, not the emotional side of the trauma. Correct?
Absolutely. Physical head trauma, just mm-hmm. like, you know, we look at NFL players in the work that's been done on concussion syndrome. That same issue, we believe, exists in the fire service, and we really have been shown a spotlight on it. But when you look at the research that's been done in other areas, such as the military, and, you know, Boston University has a concussion CTE center for the NFL, there is that linkage to behavioral health, even suicide. So we're Life Scans partnered with the group to be part of that study, and we're pursuing funding from FEMA to actually start examining. We found one or two departments in the country that have an on-scene concussion protocol, similar to the NFL and sports. But we think, you know, that's one example of an evolving issue. So I think having, being the nation's largest provider of physicals for public safety, there's an obligation to do good with what trends we see. And we're working real hard. We're still a relatively medium-sized company. But, you know, blessed to have lots of friends who have been on the show that are partner organizations. But some of the other things I can see is I think you mentioned, you know, an app that you are working on to kind of help guide and coach individuals on their health and their well-being and their life. You know, I think increasingly want to see technology drive some of the health and wellness trends for the better, I hope. And I think artificial intelligence actually will help play a role in that. And I say that not as draconian big brother, but we know that probably with modeling, we'll be able to better predict what firefighters perhaps need, what tests, when they need them, what firefighters based on, you know, a variety of potential risk and genetics and family and exposure and time on the job are at higher risk than others for certain propensities. So I think really look, when LifeSkin's been around for 24 years, we started with the Jacksonville, Florida Sheriff's Office. And I was just sharing with you, we just renewed a contract with them for a good many number of years into the future. But things have evolved tremendously over the last quarter of a century on firefighter occupational health. And there's been more research done in that venue in the last, some of it, Donnie, you've done in your specialty. And that body of research is helping us better tailor not only prevention and programs for our first responders, but also how we care for them and how we screen them. And so the goal is, you know, I remember someone, I can't remember who it was. Maybe I can, but I just don't want to misspeak. So, but telling me, you know, you look at, you know, I just watched, you know, a great weekend. I'm sure maybe you did too, of, you know, top notch football, mm-hmm. NFL playoffs. And, you know, you look at the investment of, you know, taking care of our professional sports athletes. So if God forbid one of them has, you know, a head trauma, we've got a concussion protocol they go through, we do this. If one of them has a torn ACL, you know, we get them in a fast track for, you know, the tremendous recovery pathway to get them back onto the field safely. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we need to maybe look at some of those models with our first responders that, you know, ideally we want to spend a lot of time on prevention. But we also want to have that modeling to know that we're screening what we need to be screening for at the right times. We know we can't approach first. And I think, again, I'll probably get in trouble from someone for saying this, but that's okay. We sometimes fall into the trap of, especially with screening, in my humble opinion, with treating first responders as we would any other subset of the population. Mm-hmm. And I think it's and it's changing, but I think it's time we recognize that that's a very unique set of challenges that they confront. And those unique challenges take specific and certain tolls that we need to be mindful of. And sometimes the providers that are out there that we see, many times they've never, you know, experienced going into a fire. They've never experienced a close hand tactical combat situation and the toll that takes. So I think it's going to continue to evolve, and probably the pace is going to increase in the speed, because I do think the awareness it is much higher than it's ever been in my 34 years. Mm-hmm. People are looking at it more people are looking at it. And we're talking about it as a first responder community much more openly and transparently than we ever have during my tenure.
Yeah. You know, when you're talking about that, Todd, I was just thinking about, you know, as you talk about the concussion or the ACL, any injuries, about getting in the system quick and getting people that specialize in it. It made me think of high school sports. Yeah, you have soccer teams, football teams, track, anything, basketball. There's the bump in the head. It's an immediate, and they have really good models. At least the schools that my kids have participated in, great processes and systems in place to get fast track them, exactly what you said, back to that road of recovery. And interesting, high schools do it. And I believe there's a fire station in every school district.
There is. Somehow, again, humbly I say this, maybe the fire service and law enforcement, maybe we've missed the boat a little bit on this, but you know, it's changing just on that one project. I mean, we've got three or four or five academic institutions that are partnered. One of them is doing a lot of work with head trauma in athletes, and they've actually got saliva testing for baseline chemicals that emanate from head injury and strike. So the technology, the science, but you're absolutely right. And, you know, I think sometimes as first responders, we've got that, you know, superhero, you know, cloak And, you know, we don't want to admit sometimes that we got hit or in the head or we'll get taken off the line or, you know, so I think, you know, we maybe have to do a better job internally of recognizing, again, we want to try to prevent these things from happening. But once something does happen, no good usually comes from ignoring it. And that's, I think, going to be the challenge as to how to create that awareness, create those resources and pathways. And, you know, are we a little bit behind from other industries and professions? And probably in some ways we are, but I think that's an opportunity as well that others maybe have forged a path that we can glean a lot of lessons from, tailor them to the specific needs of first responders and make that, you know, a pathway that will be for the betterment of the health and safety of our communities.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're probably coming up on our time for the listeners here. Let's think about, do you have some heads up or any foreshadowing of the guests we're going to have on this year, as well as I'm sure we're probably going to have some returning guests.
Be nice. Yeah, absolutely. I know, we have scheduled already, actually this week we'll be taping, with Newport News, Virginia Fire Chief Jeff Johnson, who has had a long career. He came out of deputy chief out of Kansas City, Missouri Fire, you know, an old traditional fire department from the 1800s, Local 42. Went out and spent some time on the West Coast as chief out in California. And now he's doing great things in Newport News, Virginia, a big military city and community, and he's doing great community service. He's got some great programs he's implementing for the health and wellness of his personnel. He's got a great community paramedic program he's got up and running. So he'll be on with us. I think we've talked with Chief Julius Halas, who's the director of the Florida State Fire Marshal's Office. On a personal note, he is a cancer survivor and very open and outspoken that it was his life scan physical and the blood work that identified his cancer. But Julius is now runs the State Fire Marshal Office for the state of Florida. He's also president of the National Association of State Fire Marshals. So I know we'll spend a lot of time talking to him about some of the work that Florida is doing on cancer and prevention and decontamination and his personal journey, but also look at the national level. And then, you know, you mentioned Billy Goldfeder. I know we've been chasing Billy's schedule, but I know with the launch of the 40 plus campaign, Billy will be on, and that'll be a popular one, I'm sure. And Billy's always a colorful guest, and will give us a lot of food for thought. So we've got a ton of great lined up. You're right. We've got some repeat customers coming back, and it's always tough when we've got 30 or 40 minutes we spend, and you know, we're talking with some of the legends of the fire service that have, you know, decades of insightful wisdom to impart. So it'll be a good mix of new guests, returning guests, and I'm looking forward to our continuing partnership. Okay. And just really fortunate that we've got a great audience out there, and thank them for continuing to stay with us. Recommend us to your friends, your colleagues, and help us continue to get the message out. And you know, I'll say this too, Donnie, I'm sure speak for both of us, is, you know, if you're a listener and, you know, you've got something unique, or you're doing something in your department, or you've got an insight or some tips of wisdom that you'd like to share, feel free to reach out to either Donnie or myself. And we're always looking for, you know, guests that really, you know, this whole podcast is about sharing and learning from each other. So if you want to contribute and give back to the service, reach out, and we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And hey, I'll just put a bug in your ear a little bit on the Jacksonville, you know, with you've mentioned the sheriff's office, you just, you know, long-term customer, right? As well as the fire as well, correct?
Yeah, we've been in Jacksonville for over two decades. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Seems like centuries, but
you know, maybe pull, I would encourage you, or I would like to hear from them, you know, someone that's been around there for a decade or so. And I bet they got some, a lot of wisdom they could share about, and gratitude of how people have been, you know, being able to go through the screenings and everything that you guys do. So, and then also, cause we do, I have a lot of law enforcement, you know, since I do law enforcement on the work-life balance side, I have a lot of law enforcement listeners out there too. So that could perhaps maybe help some other law enforcement departments as well. So.
Absolutely. We'd love to hear from them.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much concludes. And with that, folks, you'll be hearing from Todd and me weekly on the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast. And then you hear generally going to try to be very consistent. I'm going to put myself out there on Thursday releases for the LifeScan Wellness Center edition, or I should call it the LifeScan Learning Lab edition. And then for mine on Mondays, which is the Work-Life Balance and Self-Care edition. So with that, we'll be talking soon. You guys out there, have a great day. Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, Donnie. Stay safe, everyone.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.